Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Saraswati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading 3rd Canto, chapter 31, verse 22. Kapila Vacha
Kapila Vacha
Evam
Evam
Krita
Dhati
Madhe
Garbe
Garbe
Dasha
Dasa
Masya
Masya
Stuvan
Stuvan
Rishi
Sadhya
Sadhya
Shapati
Shapati
Avachinam
Avachinam
Prasu Chai
Prasu
Suti
Suti
Marutaha
Marutaha
Kapila Uvacha
Kapila Uvacha
Evam Kritamathir Garpe
Evam Kritamathir Garpe
Dasa Masya Stuvan Rishi
Dasa Masya Stuvan Rishi
Sadhya Shapati Avachinam
Sadhya Shapati Avachinam
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha Kapila Uvacha Evam Kritamathir Garpe Dasamasya Suvanushi Satya Shivatya Vasinam Prasujjai Suti Marutaha Kapila Uvacha
Evam Kritamathir Garbhe
Evam Kritamathir Garbhe
Dasamasya Suvanushi
Dasamasya Suvanushi
Satya Shivati Avachinam
Satya Shivati Avachinam
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha Kapila Uvacha
Kapila Uvacha
Evam Kritamathir Garbhe
Evam Kritamathir Garbhe
Dasamasya Suvanrushi
Dasamasya Suvanrushi
Sadhya Shivati Avachinam
Sadhya Shivati Avachinam
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha Kapila Uvacha
Kapila Uvacha
Evam Kritamathir Garbhe
Evam Kritamathir Garbhe
Dasamasya Suvanrushi
Dasamasya Suvanrushi
Satya
Shivatya Vasinam Satya Shivatya Vasinam
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha
Prasujjai Suti Marutaha
Kapila Vacha.
Kapila Vacha.
Lord Kapila said,
Lord Kapila said,
Devam,
Devam,
Das,
Das,
Kritamati,
Kritamati,
desiring,
desiring,
Garbe,
Garbe,
in the womb,
in the womb,
Das Amasya,
Das Amasya,
10 month old,
10 month old,
Stuvan,
Stuvan,
extolling,
extolling,
Rishi,
Rishi,
living entity,
living entity,
Satya,
Satya,
at that very time,
at that very time,
Shupati,
Shupati,
propels,
propels,
Avachinam,
Avachinam,
turn downwards,
turn downwards,
pursuit jai,
pursuit jai,
for birth,
for birth,
Suki Maruta,
Suki Maruta,
the wind for childbirth,
the wind for childbirth.
Translation, Lord Kapila continues, the 10-month-old living entity has these desires even while in the womb, while he thus extols the Lord, the wind that helps Parturishan, propels him forth with his face turned downwards so he may be born. Pushed downward, all of a sudden by the wind, the child comes out with great trouble, head downward, breathless, and deprived of memory due to severe agony. Purport, the word Tritrena means with great difficulty. When the child comes out of the abdomen through the narrow passage due to pressure, there the breathing system quickly stops. And due to agony, the child loses his memory. Sometimes the trouble is so severe that the child comes out dead or almost dead. One can imagine what the pangs of birth are like. The child remains for 10 months in that horrible condition within the abdomen. At the end of 10 months, he is forcibly pushed out. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord points out that a person who is serious about advancement, spiritual consciousness should always consider the four pangs of birth, death, disease, and old age. The materialist advances in many ways, but he's unable to stop these four principles of suffering inherent in material existence. The child thus falls on the ground, smeared with stool and blood, and plays just like a worm germinating stool. He loses superior knowledge and cries under the spell of Maya. After coming out of the abdomen, the child is given to the care of persons who are unable to understand what he wants, and thus he is nursed by such persons. Unable to refuse whatever is given to him, he falls into undesirable circumstances. Wherefore, within the abdomen of the mother, the nourishment of the child is being carried out by nature's own arrangement. The atmosphere within the abdomen is not at all pleasing, but as far as the child's feeding was concerned, it was being properly done by the laws of nature, but upon coming out of the abdomen, the child falls into a different atmosphere. He wants to eat one thing, but sometimes is given something else is given to him because no one knows his actual demand and he cannot refuse the undesirables given to him. Sometimes the child cries from the mother's breast, but because the nurse thinks it is due to pain within his stomach that he is crying, she supplies him some bitter medicine. The child does not want it, but he cannot refuse it. He is put into very awkward circumstances, and suffering continues. Lay down on a foul bed infested with sweat and germs. The poor child is incapable of scratching his body to get relief from his itching sensation, to say nothing of sitting up, standing, or even moving. Purport, it should be noted that the child is born crying and suffering after birth. The same suffering continues and he cries because he is disturbed by the germs in his foul bed, which is contaminated by his urine and stool. The poor child continues to cry. He is unable to take any remedial measure for his relief. In his helpless condition, gnats, mosquitoes, bugs, and other germs bite the baby whose skin is very tender, just as small worms bite a big worm. The child, deprived of his wisdom, cries bitterly. Purport, the word vigata jnana means that spiritual knowledge which the child develops in the abdomen is already lost to the spell of Maya. Owing to various kinds of disturbances and to being out of the abdomen, the child cannot remember what he was thinking of for his salvation. It is assumed that even if a person acquires some spiritual ability knowledge, circumstantially is prone to forget it. Not only children, but also elderly persons should be very careful to protect their sense of Krishna consciousness and avoid unfavorable circumstances so that they may not forget their prime duty. In this way, the child passes through his childhood, suffering different kinds of distress, and attains boyhood. In boyhood also, he suffers pain over desires to get things he cannot achieve, and thus, due to ignorance, he becomes angry and sorry. Purport, from birth to the end of 5 years is called childhood. After 5 years, up to the end of the 15th year, is called Kulkanda. At six 16 years of age, youth begins. The stress of childhood is already explained, but when the child attains boyhood, he's enrolled in a school which he does not like. He wants to play, but he is forced to go to school and study and take responsibility for passing examinations. Another kind of distress is that he wants to get some things with which to play, but circumstances may be such that he is not able to attain them, and this becomes a grief and feels pain. In one word, he is unhappy even in his boyhood, just as he was unhappy in his childhood. What to speak of youth? Boys are apt to create so many artificial demands for playing, and when they do not attain satisfaction, they become furious with anger, and the result is suffering. With the growth of the body, the living entity, in order to vanquish his soul, increases his false prestige and anger, and thereby creates enmity toward similarly lusty people. Purport in Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, verse 36, Arjuna inquired from Krishna about the cause of a living being's lust. It is said that a living being entity is eternal and as such qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord. Then what is the reason he falls prey to the material and commits so many sinful activities by the influence of the material energy? In reply to this question, Lord Krishna said that it is lust which causes the living entity to glide down from his exalted position to the abominable condition of material existence. This lust circumstantially changes into anger. Both lust and anger stand on the platform of the mode of passion. Lust is actually the product of mode of passion. In the absence of satisfaction, love, the same desire transcends anger on the platform of ignorance. When ignorance covers the soul, it is the source of this degradation to the most abominable condition, life. To raise oneself from hellish life to the highest position of spiritual understanding is to transform this lust into love of Krishna. Sri Narottam Das Thakur, great acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya, said, Kama Krishna Karma Arpane. Due to our lust, we want more, many things for our sense gratification, but the same lust can be transformed into a purified way, so that we want everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anger also can be utilized toward a person who is atheistic or who is envious of the Personality of Godhead. As we have fallen into this material existence because of our lust and anger, the same two qualities can be utilized for the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness, and one can elevate himself again to his former pure spiritual position. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore recommended that because in material existence we have so many objects of sense gratification which we need to obtain the body, we should use all of them without attachment for the purpose of satisfying the senses of Krishna. That is actual renunciation. Translation of Narkapila continued, the 10-month-old living entity has these desires even while in the womb, but while he thus extols the Lord, the wind that helps parturition propels him forth with his face turned downward, soon may be formed. So this series of verses describes the birth and after the birth of the child up until he is, let's say, adolescent in nature. We see here one, forgetfulness of his position in the womb, and we see the different pains and different problems which are described for the jiva when he is in the body of a small child. So these are, of course, the minus points to the human existence. That is not to say that a child is never happy, because we also see the children laughing and playing, etc. That is not described here so much. Rather, we see the negative aspect of the miseries. Because there is a balance of pleasure as well as pain, the jiva accepts the position. If it was all suffering, how could the jiva tolerate it? Because there's a mixture, the jiva tolerates the situation and grows up and becomes an adult. So the miseries of the childhood years are described here. And because there is also some happiness concerning the material body at this stage, the jiva survives this ordeal and grows up, and then as an adult continues in this material world to seek a happy existence. So this combination is there. And it is all based upon karma. And karma is based upon ignorance. Because of ignorance, we desire enjoyment, and then we get material body, material identification. And then with that body, we experience pleasure through senses. So previously the senses were described, the body was described, the elements were described. So the combination of the senses with the sense objects produces pleasure. Or, by deprivation, it produces pain. When we get the contact with sense object, a good sense object, then we feel pleasure. And when we are deprived of that sense object, then we get pain. So we have these two aspects of material existence. Or, apart from deprivation, sometimes we get sense objects which are not pleasing. So for instance, we have taste. So some tastes are pleasing, and if we don't have them, then we're displeased. Or some tastes are bad. They have bad taste, so we may get those tastes also. So there is bad taste as well as good taste, plus there's deprivation of taste. So these two things are there for the jiva, and when it comes in the material world with the material body, then sometimes he gets good objects, sometimes he gets bad objects, and sometimes he doesn't get any object. So he gets happiness and distress in the material world from this. And the child cannot always predict how this is going to happen, when he's going to get and what he's going to get. Particularly because the child is helpless. So it's described here, the child cannot say anything, cannot say, I don't like this, or whatever. I don't want this, I want that. In this way, the child is very limited, and certain things are given to the child. And besides that, then we have things which come of their own accord that we don't want, but we get anyway. So we may get accidents or so many other things which we don't want due to karmas, or due to circumstances. We can't get certain things because our karma does not allow it. So there is limitations on the enjoyment, and then there is lack of enjoyment, and then there is suffering because of karmas and circumstances. And besides that, we have the limitations of the child. It doesn't, can't say what it wants, so it'll make it the wrong thing, etc. So there's all sorts of factors which determine the happiness and distress. Of course, the parents of the child should, as their duty, minimize the suffering of the child. We can't reduce suffering to zero, but they can minimize that by caring for the child as much as possible and supplying the food and the shelter and the care and cleanliness, etc. And that is the duty of the parents. In this way, at least the child gets some comfort of life, and the pleasure outdoes the pain, outweighs the pain. In this way, the child will grow up at least productive in the material world. So this is the precarious situation. But this does not change when the child grows up also. When the child can speak and develop intelligence and do many things, the situation does not change too much. The same feelings are there, happiness and distress. I want the happiness, I don't want the distress. So these continue throughout life. The same feelings that have been there since the beginning of birth continue throughout life and do not change. And usually
the particular type of desires and particular types of hatred that arise during life are actually the same ones that the child experiences in childhood. So very, very similar the experiences of childhood and adulthood based upon the likes and dislikes of the person. You can say in this way, the nature does not change, and consequently the experiences do not change much from childhood to adulthood. It doesn't have to be like this, but this is generally what happens because of what we call the conditioning of the living entity. It develops certain habits, and these follow the jiva throughout life. So, whatever miseries we have from the beginning of childhood, in one sense, they continue throughout life. Because we will pick up the same type of things through the whole of our life as we have in childhood. So whatever we think is bad in childhood, we will attract that type of experience later on in life and suffer in the same way, and similar in happiness. Growing up has not solved the problem, because we take the mind with us, we take ignorance with us, ahankara, and we take everything with us from childhood all the way through adulthood. The same is there, and the memory is there, the experiences are all held there. And of course we have our karmas. So in this way, the misery and the happiness and misery mixture of childhood continues in adulthood, and it does not change that much. The only difference is that as an adult, one becomes responsible for the activities, and one has the ability to work harder to try to attain the happiness and avoid the distress. But otherwise, it's the same situation. Same conditions are there, same situation, same feelings, everything. Only one will try harder to get the happiness and try harder to avoid the distress, because we have developed intelligence. And when we try by doing activities, and then we get karma. So we have to become we are responsible for our activities at that point. So if we're intelligent, then we will responsibly seek our enjoyment. And this eventually becomes the varnashram system. We are adults, and then we have responsibility in our actions, and we do them according to certain rules and regulations. Then we have a hope of progressing. So this is the system of varnashram. One follows, then one can live comfortably, or at least survive in the material world without excessive problems. So this is the journey of the living entity. And if he doesn't have a good system as an adult, then he simply accrues bad karmas. And then again, next lifetime, he has to undergo more suffering, and more suffering, and more suffering in future lifetimes. So the position of the jiva is very precarious in the material world. At any point you can drop downwards because of the nature of desire in the jiva. How do we get out? Well, it's helpless. Well, we can't do it on our own. We are helpless. That's why we stay there, anadi bahir mukha. Only by the mercy of Krishna and devotees we get out. Otherwise, it's difficult. We cannot get out. We stay in the material world, constantly.
This illusion, this moha, Is coming out from this family members? Family members, given the family members and Mohammed?
Well, and not can't blame the family members. We have every jiva has ignorance. That's why we get a material body, because we're in ignorance, and we have karmas attached to us. So we can't blame anybody for that. Attachment to family members, that helps create our happiness and our distress, and it keeps us in illusion. But it's not the only illusion. The illusion actually comes from the jiva himself, that is identifying with the material body and desiring happiness and distress, happiness in the material world. And then by karmas, we end up with family, etc., whatever. We cannot blame the family members.
The Bhagavatam is indicating that Purushastriya Vitri Bhavagatam, Bhayavadam,
Udayavadam,
Mahu. Yeah.
Yeah, but that is not the cause. That is not the cause of moha. That is the effect which further entangles you. The cause is ignorance of the jiva itself. The desire, the jiva has a desire for enjoyment in the material world. That is the cause. Yeah. And then he gets enjoyment in the material world. And then he becomes attached to it. And then he wants more. So that is the bondage. But the cause is not that. The cause is the jiva himself and his desire.
But the cause of the Krishna
consciousness,
then the child
will
be saved, isn't it?
Well, that's more likely. It's not all cases. It may not happen, but that's it's more likely that the child gets benefit in that case.
But you mentioned child is getting the desert in the 10th month.
No, 10th month comes out.
Okay.
Was born in the 10th month. 7th month onward is quite active.
Yeah,
Prabhupada
said it's cheating.
Yeah, material knowledge gives us confidence that material life is a solution to everything when it's not. It has a benefit in the sense that knowledge is necessary for survival, and we have to maintain the body, etc., so you need jobs, etc., to that extent. If one has to maintain the body, fine, then one needs education of some sort. So education was there, and material education was there in Varnashram system also. They had systems of training the children, usually within the family they would train them up in certain professions, rather than going to university. Modern world is a little different because everything is specialized and whatever. So the children go off to school and do all this sort of stuff. But the endeavor they put in it for that, it's not really worth it. So many years, 20 years of education to maintain the body. And then you spend another 50 years, 40 years working to maintain that body. So 60 years of finished hard work, and no time left for spiritual activities. So that's a waste. So one has to cultivate spiritual life. Yeah, so to some extent we can do the material activities to maintain the body. Certainly we have to maintain the body, but we cannot neglect the spiritual activities. So if we are working so hard we can't do any spiritual activities, then that's not proper. And we work, and we can still do the spiritual activities, that's better. But it should be favorable, at least, our work, so that we don't have so much work that we cannot practice properly. So we have to adjust. And therefore, the devotees have to give that knowledge to people. Not in school, in most cases, outside of school. For some schools they do teach something, but not many cases we have to do outside of school. Someone has to do that, give that knowledge. Devotees do that.
Tell them to for spiritual, you know, gurukul, like they come up in, you know, spiritual life.
Yeah, well, of course, in the Varnashram system, the upper classes go to the gurukul and they study the Vedas, so they get spiritual knowledge. So that system is no longer there. It's part of, at least it's part of the government or the social system, even. It's not there anymore. The government is responsible for your material education only. But the orientation was a little different in ancient days, and concentration was on the spiritual activities, so therefore education meant studying the Vedas, studying the spiritual things. And the upper classes were obligated to do that, so it was quite, had a prominent role. But that is not so in the modern age.
श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय।